we want to welcome you to Refreshed with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refreshed is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs. We want to thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio broadcast right here on WMIE FM 91.5. And by the way, I don't know if you have gone onto your app store. You can actually go onto the app store and find the WMIE app and download that. And wherever you are with your smartphone, that can be accessed. We had several people in our church a little over a week ago, and my daughter was helping them load the app after service, and my wife, she came to me and she said, "Can you help me get that app on my phone?" And so we did, and it said, "Yes, you have a smartphone. No, it's not smart enough yet." And so we're working on that. And so if you have a smartphone, I just want you to know you can take WMIE with you wherever you go. I was a few weeks ago, I was in Alabama, and it was a short trip, but WMIE can even reach Alabama via your smartphone app. And so also, if you miss a broadcast, you can go onto the website and you can catch the downloads there, the podcast, and catch up on some older broadcasts. So we're entering into our Christmas season, into the Christmas week, and so we finished up a study on the Hallowed Be Your Name. We started this study several weeks ago out of Matthew chapter 6. And in verse number 10, well, let me just go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse number 9. And it says, "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And so we've spent some time talking about our Father in heaven, his perspective, and hallowed be your name. And now we're entering into the Christmas season, and it says, "Your kingdom come, your kingdom come." When the wise men came looking for Jesus, their question was this: where is he who has been born King of the Jews? Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? And I want you to know that Jesus is not running for president. Jesus is not running for governor or Supreme Court justice. He has been born King of the Jews. In fact, we'll take you a little bit later and show that his monarchy extends beyond just the Jewish people. But whenever we start talking about a kingdom mindset, it's a lot of times very difficult for people of a Western mindset to grasp a kingdom mindset, because it is completely different. You know, it's about my rights and versus the king's rights. And I heard a story here not too long ago. In fact, it may have been on one of the radio broadcasts. In fact, I think it was Adrian Rogers that I heard talking about a lady who had a daughter who was very sick. And she said, "You know, Mother, I think that if I just had some fruit that I would feel better." And so as the lady was walking, she came upon an open gate. And when she looked in, she could see just huge quantities of grapevines rising and very very much ready for harvest. And so she walked in, she had some money, and she was just looking to buy some grapes. And all of a sudden the person tending the garden said, "What are you doing in here? You've got to get out. You've got to leave." And they began, and she began to tell the story of, you know, "My daughter's sick and she needs grapes. And, you know, I just wanted to buy some. I've got some money." And he said, "Look, these grapes are not for sale. You've got to leave. These are the king's grapes. This is his vineyard, and you've got to leave." And so she turned to leave. And all of a sudden, another voice said, "Wait a minute, come here." And, you know, repeated the story. And, the person said, "Here, hold out your apron, and let me put some grapes in there for you." And he just began to load her up with the king's grapes. And she said, "But sir, I don't have the money to pay for all of these grapes." And he said, "These are a gift from the king. The king's grapes are not for sale, but they are a gift from your king." And see, what happens is we have seen so many bad examples of monarchs that we do with the kingship what we tend to do with fathers, people who grew up with poor representations of fathers and abusive fathers and neglectful fathers and absentee fathers. And so as a result, when we read in the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father, which art in heaven," we automatically assign the definition of what a father is from what our earthly father lived out. And now we label that, we try and force God into that image. And if it was a distorted image, a bad image, all of that, then we tend to think of God in those parameters. And we do that the same way with a king. We've seen kings who are abusive and, you know, where it was all about the king and everybody did without while the king lived in opulence. And I want you to know that that's not God's version of a kingdom mindset. The king, when Jesus is our king, everything functions differently. We are translated from a famine, a condition of famine, to a place of abundance, from a place of misery to a place of joy, from a place of oppression to a place of liberty. And so today I want to encourage you that when you are praying this, you and I, we need to appreciate, "God, may your kingdom come. The kingdom of heaven, may it come. The kingdom of God, may it come. May it manifest in my realm. May it manifest in my workplace, manifest in my home, manifest in my thought life, manifest in my finances. May your kingdom manifest." My wife and daughters, a while back, they were watching a movie. It was called, I believe it was The King and I, with Yul Brynner and Julie Andrews, and it dealt with a lady brought in to be a teacher in this foreign land. But what I remember about that movie, and I'll tell you, I didn't watch the whole movie. That's not my type of movie. I'm more of an action guy. But what I remember about that movie was her struggles to understand the mindset of the kingdom in which she was now living and serving. Here in America, we are so interested in our voice, our interest, and making our way in our society that we get confused and bring a contemporary cultural, get this, consumerism mindset into God's kingdom. We think, well, if I don't like this, I will just go over here. So every once in a while, people will come up to me and they will talk to me about the transitions that they are planning on making in their life. And my first question is this: have you prayed about that? And my question is, when I ask that, I'm not asking, has God put his stamp of approval on this decision that you are making? because that's not a kingdom mindset. That's a consumerism mindset. What I'm asking is, this change that you are getting ready to make in your life, are you doing that under a decree from the throne, or are you doing it out of some other sort of mindset, whether it be financial or familial? What is prompting this? There, I know a lot of people have made moves, and it was entirely based upon their family. But I will tell you the type of people that I admire, and that is, look, God has told me that I need to do this. You see, the centurion that we talk about, he said, I am a man under authority, and I am a man of authority. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to this one, do this, and he does it. And what he was saying is that, is because of the authorities over me, when they tell me something's got to be done, then I speak with authority to those under me, and I expect that they are going to accomplish the goals of those in authority over me. I want you to know that Merit Assembly of God is not about me. It's not about my personal preferences. There are some things that that I wanted that never came to pass. But you know what? I keep coming to God and saying, God, you know what? This is your church. These are your people. They are redeemed by your blood. They are called by your name. I'm just an under shepherd. You are the chief shepherd. And so if you want to see people get really nervous in America, you start talking to them, because it is true. God has given us a free will and a free choice. He just wants us to choose him. But people get really nervous when you start talking about setting aside their choice and their will and embracing something else. And a word that is very scary. And again, it's because of a negative example that has taken place in our society. The system of government that God has for his people is, and I know this is scary, just go ahead, hold on. And you say, you don't truly believe that, do you? And I say, yes, I really do. And that is this: God has set up for his kingdom and for his people a theocracy where God is king. Does that mean that America is going to be a theocracy? No. We were created as a constitutional republic. That is what we are. But as a child of God, I live under the authority and the will and the discretion of God. He is the one who has chosen my days. He chose the times and the places where I was to live. I believe that he chose my house. I believe that he chose the church that I serve in. Every door that God has opened for me, I have walked through, and I don't say this to brag on myself. I just want to tell you the mindset that I have in this kingdom that we are praying in the Lord's Prayer. God, your kingdom come. And that is this: God, when you open a door, I'm going to walk through it, and I'm going to walk through it in faith. I'm going to walk through it in obedience, and I'm going to walk through it in expectation that the King is going to meet all the needs that the people in that kingdom have. And so I've served as a youth pastor in a major metropolitan city where I worked 70 hours a week and I brought home $86 a week. My bills at that point in time were more than the money that I earned. I have been a husband and a father in a little bitty rural community where I was forced to work a second job, drove horrendous amounts of mileage. But we did that because God had chosen for us to serve in that community. At that point in time, we were making $125 a week. And I'm talking about when there was a financial boom going on in America. You know, there were people making loads and loads of money, and we were at the lower end of the spectrum. I've served where I got, actually, when we first came to the church, we came because we recognize the call of the King. And we said, it doesn't matter what the past looks like. It doesn't matter what the current finances look like. It doesn't matter what the current provision looks like. We are going to go, and God is going to provide. And so I want you to know, wise people, as in the beginning of the Christmas story, where they're coming and they're saying, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? They came with an expectation that especially God's chosen people were looking for the presence of the King. Those people who had traveled so far knew that this was a change in the current situation. This was a pivotal point in history. And so today, I would like to ask you, when you pray, God, your kingdom come, do you really mean that? Or are you praying that, thinking that that means that, you know, all of your needs are going to be met? The danger that a lot of people face with a theocratic mindset is that there are people who, with other gods that they serve, and their theocracy is very dictatorial. It is not gracious. It is not lenient. It is not merciful. It is not compassionate in any form or fashion. And so when you think of a theocracy with God, I just want to point you to heaven. And in heaven, there is no debt, no sickness, no sorrow, no pain, no disease, no temptation, no failure, no heartache, no misery. It is a place where there is abundant provision, there is healing, there is justice, there is holiness, there is praise, there is worship, there is purpose. And so I want you to know that that is what I am describing here. This is a monarchy where God is the King. The cry of the Americans under Reverend Jonas Clark was this: we recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus. This is a quote that I downloaded, and it said, that battle cry soon rang throughout the colonies, making the battle for the independence of America from England, making this not just a battle for rights, but for religious freedom as well. That would explain why the First Amendment of the Constitution deals with our religious freedoms. The committees of correspondence sounded the cry across the colonies, no king but King Jesus. Jonathan Trumbull, a crown-appointed governor, wrote back to England, if you ask an American who is his master, he will tell you he has none, nor any governor but Jesus Christ. Now, I told you earlier that I would take you to see that Jesus was not just born King of the Jews. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 9, one of the great passages there, it says, of the increase of his government and his peace, there shall be no end. And so that sounds pretty promising to me. In Revelation chapter 19, verse number 11, it says this: now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And see, in the Old Testament, the person that was known by that title was a guy by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. But Nebuchadnezzar was a flawed man. He was an arrogant man, and he was humiliated by God. And during that time, you can read his story in Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar came to understand that it was not because of his accomplishments, but because God causes kingdoms to rise and fall, and that there was going to come a kingdom after him and after several intermediary kingdoms, and that kingdom would fill the earth. It would never cease to end. In Revelation chapter 19, we have identified for us who that King of Kings is. And when we pray, "Your kingdom come," this is what we are praying. We are praying for the King to come. The King to come, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are looking for a King who is faithful and true. We are looking for a King who is righteous. We are looking for a King who makes judgments. We are looking for a King who makes war. We are looking for a King who leads, not just sits upon the throne. We are looking for a King who rules. We are looking for a King who speaks with authority. We are looking for a King who is going to defeat Satan and the armies of the hordes of hell. We are looking for a conquering King who always leads his people in triumphal procession. And so when you and I, when we are praying, "Your kingdom come," I want you to see Revelation 19, because he is not leaving town a defeated King. He is coming as a conquering King. In Revelation chapter 17, just a couple of chapters before that, it says in verse number 12, "The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have yet or have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. They will make war with the Lamb," and get this, "and the Lamb will overcome them." Why? "For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful." Okay, I want you to see that it says that there are going to be people who make war with the King of Kings, and we've identified him as the Word, as Jesus Christ. There are going to be people who had authority, and they are going to make war with the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them. When we are praying, "God, your kingdom come," we are praying, "God, may your kingdom come and be victorious over everything that wars against you and against your kingdom. May your kingdom come and be victorious as you wage war on pride, as you wage war on rebellion, as you wage war on sickness and disease, as you wage war on everything that is anti-Jesus. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome him, and he's not coming by himself. He is coming with an entourage. One of the things that I pray is, "Lord, when you come, I know this, your entourage, everything you are, every blessing you have is coming with you." A lot of times when we travel on planes, you are limited with the amount of luggage that you can carry on. You are limited with the amount of bags that you can check in, and a lot of airlines charge you for that. And so it can be prohibitive from a financial standpoint of just exactly what you can take with you. But I want you to know that that is not the way that the King of Kings travels. When he comes, because he is the one who makes heaven heaven, his presence in our church services brings heaven to earth. It is not about my vocabulary. It is not about my oratory skills. It's not about how well I speak or the horrendous jokes that I tell. It's not about how funny I may be, how charismatic I may be, how dynamic I... The thing that changes people's world is when the King shows up. May the King show up in our services on a regular basis. May the King travel with you. He brings everything. The scripture says he's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything. He's left nothing else, nothing out. If he would not withhold his son Jesus, he will not withhold any good thing. So I pray that this week that you will be one of those people. It says the entourage that travel with him, the people that travel with him here in Revelation chapter 17, those who travel with him are called. They're chosen and they're faithful. Those are characteristics of the people who travel with the King of Kings. They are called, they are chosen, and they are faithful. Those are three very rare. You know, it is true that we have to ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins. We have to make a free will choice at that point in time. But I want you to know that God has called you. He has invited you. When our phones were out last week, there were people who were making phone calls. And yet, because of some broken phone lines or whatever the problem ended up being, those calls weren't getting through. Jesus has been calling you. And it might be that there were people who were intercepting those calls. There were people who were trying to prevent you from understanding that your spiritual phone was ringing. I want you to know that God has called you because he's chosen you. He's chosen you. And he is looking to reveal his faithfulness, not only to you, but in you. And so let's pray that God's kingdom would come. This coming week, we'd like to invite you to be a part of our Christmas Sunday services. We're going to be having a special vocal presentation Sunday morning. I'm going to be preaching my Christmas message. And then also Sunday night, if you would like to come and be a part of our Christmas banquet, look, we consider you part of our congregation. We may have never met you, may have never received any communication from you, but if you'd like to be a part of our Christmas banquet, we would need to hear from you because we do have limited space to be able to put on that banquet. And we want to make sure that people have all of the everybody has food. Nobody goes home. It would be a horrible banquet if people went home hungry. But if you would call us 454-4263 or email us and let us know that you were coming. But today, as you've heard me talking about the King, if you've not made Jesus the King of your life, I want you to pray this with me. Heavenly Father, right now I surrender to you. I surrender everything to you. I want to ask you not only to be my Savior, but to be my Lord and my King. Lord, may your kingdom come to my spiritual life. May your kingdom come to my relationships. May your kingdom manifest in every area of my life. In Jesus' name, we'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would